Next step, number 703, November 25th, 2021, Thanksgiving.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Start off today, this Thanksgiving Day, with, yes, it is a beatitude, one of the beatitudes given to us by Jesus Christ, but also as a beatitude that I can really understand at this point. It is like the highest, right? If you think about it, to see God, in other words, to be in union with the Creator, with something that is beyond you, but beyond everyone, beyond the stars, beyond the universe. It's like the highest, right? The ultimate. And who does Jesus give that to? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I started off this podcast yesterday, and it was just a horrible, horrible day. And it was reflected in all aspects of my life, including in the podcast that I started. I wanted to start it last night because there were just, I couldn't get to sleep and I needed to do it. I needed to vent. I needed to share it. But I decided not to go with that beginning. So here we are. It's a new day. It's a new sun. I've done my early morning bike ride and sitting in front of this microphone on Thanksgiving on an otherwise very, very difficult few days that we've experienced. Namely, yesterday, we woke up to the news that our very dear friends, Katie J and Gabriel Starring, had passed away. And we went, I still am in a state of shock, devastated, because the enormity of such a loss, I don't think, is comprehensible at this point. Here is a couple, and those of you who have been with us in the Next Step, those of you who know about the In His Shoes Ministry will know much about them. For those of you who are just joining us today, let me just share really briefly. This is a couple, but primarily Gabriel was the man that I met back in 2005 who had had his enough moment. And he had been around during the Rwandan genocide and didn't do anything. And now that Darfur had started, he said, I cannot let my life go by without doing anything. And he became involved, became the activist against the genocide in Darfur. And our paths crossed in so many ways through the years. We've been not only working together, but we've shared a camaraderie that I really don't have with too many people. This last year, after the war in Artsakh, Gabriel and Katie J went to Armenia to use their techniques to working with refugees. From the Darfurian days, he went into refugee camps. And, you know, one of the things that when we'd always see, Father Vazgen, I'm going to take you with me to the camp next year. And I always, like, said, yeah, Gabriel, I'm ready to go. But deep down, I wondered, would I be ready to go? And as the years go by, you realize that, you know, less and less chance. But this time he went to Armenia and basically teaching the refugees of the war the basic survival skills of feeling, of understanding yourself as a human being, dignity, putting humanity before politics. Gabriel and KDJ together, husband and wife team, were just awesome. This last year, before they went to Armenia, we had dinner with them at the house. And then they went to Armenia. We got back together. We celebrated. We were together at a big fundraiser for their activities. He had brought back a bottle of rakı. This would be commonly known as, I guess, ouzo or arak. And he had brought some homemade rakı that he had brought over from Armenia. And he asked me if I would make the toast. And in a room of, I think there was only just a handful of Armenians. The rest were just all people who had come together to celebrate the power of love over evil through the IACT. That's the organization that he was the founder of, IACT or IACTivism. And the I, of course, in there because these guys were always very techie. We would have a lot of techie stuff to talk about on many levels. That's another conversation. But he asked me to make the toast that night, and I was honored. I lifted my glass of arak and toasted in Armenian and then wished them the best by translating that beautiful Armenian toast of life and what we say, Arevshad, many years of much sunshine in your life. And certainly they were ones that brought sunshine to a lot of people. Now here is a couple, and there is a YouTube video somewhere, I'm sure you could find it. It's they really survived some really difficult times going into war zones. And there is a video on YouTube where they're actually shooting. You see the bullets going right over their head. And it just was ironic yesterday when I got this news, because here is a couple that have survived bullets, bombs, grenades. And it was the Los Angeles freeway system or Los Angeles automobile system that did them in. They succumbed to a horrific accident that we don't know details of, only what has been reported on the news. And from what all indications, their 10-year-old daughter has survived, Layla. She will be in our prayers. And I don't know. Here we are on Thanksgiving, finding it very difficult to talk about these things. And all I kept thinking about last night is I had this restless night just thinking about our dear friendship and how abruptly it had ended. And I thought to myself, wow, Thanksgiving, this is it. You know, I mean, everything comes to an end. Can we be thankful for those good things? Here was a man who taught us what it means to be human. He was a peacemaker. In fact, it's a T-shirt that I'll confess, it's a T-shirt that I wear to bed every night. It's like my, I'm not a pajama wearer. I wear T-shirts, you know, because they just, I have so many, first of all. I go to so many conferences and things like that that I end up with a bunch of T-shirts. But there was one favorite that I have, and it is this giant peace sign on the back. And in the front, it says, I am peace. And I wear it. And there was a combination during the early 2000s between the IACT people. And we were very fortunate to have the We Care for Youth people with us. I mean, it was just a very, very special time. It was the time at which this podcast was born, too. And these ideas and concepts about peace that I talk about so often here on The Next Step as being the ultimate goal for us, that Jesus, when he came, what was the message that was heralded by the angels? Let there be peace on earth. I mean, ultimately, this is the reason why we are here. Can we get along with one another? Can we understand one another? And Gabriel was that agent. Gabriel and KDJ, I should say. If I'm leaving her out, it's not intentional. It's just that my association with Gabriel goes back a little farther. And when KDJ got on the team, wow, they were dynamite. They were dynamite. She was the doer. And I would love to get together. We would at least at least once a year, we'd end up at some restaurant somewhere having some Armenian food. And she knew her stuff. An amazing woman. And if you didn't get a chance, I'd say, what was it, about August, we did a podcast with them, interviewed them both. And you know what, today I will populate today's show notes with links, because I want you to get to know them, and I want you to get to know them the way I did. But we did a podcast, we did a vodcast with them too on the Diocesan Television Network. And that one, he called me up afterwards and he said, all of my family says, this is the best interview that I've ever had. And last night, as I was searching for, just to keep his memory, you know, just to ways of touching him when we can't, I went on the website and there it was, you know, it's like in prime spot on the website, this interview that we did with Gabriel and KDJ. So let me do that today. I would like to share with you some of the stories that we have with these remarkable people. And when I say it's devastating news, it is devastating, because really the world has been touched by people that are peacemakers. And they are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. And in that sense, I want to say, yes, it is a happy Thanksgiving, because my life, and I know so many other lives, particularly the refugee lives, were touched by the love, the compassion of these two remarkable human beings who have elevated themselves from the human condition by becoming agents of peace. So a few moments ago, I told you that I now understand, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. It's not about peacemakers getting up and sitting with God and all that. It's so simple. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. They've made peace. They're making peace. They shall see God, because they're doing God's work. They're seeing God. We complicate it, don't we? It's as simple as Christ said it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. I think we're ready for a break right now. As we do every week, we play a song of the day. Let me pick out a very special one for the occasion by Joan Baez. It's one about thankfulness. Thankfulness for life. Let's shake it up.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me dio dos luceros que cuando los abro perfecto distingo lo negro del blanco, y en el alto cielo su fondo estrellado, y en las multitudes al hombre que yo amo. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el sonido y el abecedario, con él las palabras que pienso y declaro, madre, amigo, hermano, y luz alumbrando la ruta del alma del que estoy amando. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el oído que en todo su ancho graba noche y día, grillos y canarios, martillos, turbinas, ladridos, chubascos, y la voz tan tierna de mi bien amado. gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado la marcha de mis pies cansados. Con ellos anduve sin dades y charcos, playas y desiertos, montañas y llanos, y la casa tuya, tu calle y tu patio. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado la risa y me ha dado el llanto. Así yo distingo dicha de quebranto, los dos materiales que forman mi canto y el canto de ustedes que es mi propio canto. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto.
My eyes are just so watery right now. Joan Baez, of course. Of course, doing Gracias a la Vida. Thank you to life. And, you know, I went through so much. It's bittersweet. What are you going to do? Right? The bitterness of life, of death, of losing something like this, the sweetness of knowing people, who went beyond, over and above, and really touched people in the way that they did. And yeah, you know, it's Thanksgiving today. What are you going to do? Curse the darkness or be thankful for the lights that you do have? I don't know. Our prayers go out to the Starring family. Our prayers go out to the IACT family. But our prayers should go out to each and every one of us. Because, you know, this world is losing people like this. Beautiful people. And I think they're all around us. And maybe what we need to do in their loss is also open our eyes and see that, yeah, you know what? As much as we see the craziness and the horror of this world, we have to also be thankful for the goodness that's all around us. Thank you to life, as Baez sings in this song. Let's see, I found an English translation of it here. Thank you to life that has given me so much, has given me hearing, which in all its breath records night and day, crickets and canaries, hammers, turbines, yells and barks, storms, and the voice so tender of my darling love, beloved. Thank you to the life that has given me so much, has given me sound and the alphabet, with it the words that I think and declare, mother, friend, brother, and illuminating in lightning light, the road, the route, to the soul of him who I am loving, to whom I'm expressing my love right now at this moment. Beautiful song, you know. Let me just do this. I'll put the in the show notes. I'll put a little link to this translation as well. Just the more I'm getting too emotional right now. Anyway, that's what the song's supposed to do, the song of the week. It's giving us a little bit of time to process, because sometimes the amount of stuff we have to process is just overwhelming, as is in this case. You know, I think there's the inequity that we're dealing with as well, the incongruity. Here's, you know, Gabriel and Katie J, who've dodged every kind of bullet and grenade, and yet they succumb to an accident on the streets of Los Angeles because of reckless driving by somebody. And, you know, it's like, you know, there's real issues in the world, and so we have to deal with that too. You know, like, yeah, you know, it could just go in a fleeting moment. It could just all be gone by the actions of something completely random. It's a car accident. Going back to Gabriel, mindfulness, yes, just live in that moment. That's what's there, and he did. When we come back in just a moment, I'm going to share with you some more reflections of thankfulness for a life that has really touched so many others. Thanksgiving. Here in the States, it's a beautiful thing. You know, you can say what you want about America, but I think it's beautiful that America, United States of America, has this beautiful celebration, that it takes a stop, you know, during the course of all the hustle and bustle, and especially just before the holiday season, to just thank God, to thank God for the beautiful life that we do have and all the blessings that come with this life. And I think Thanksgiving has to be really one of those very, very special moments for the Christian to really understand that, yes, it is possible. It is possible to bring faith to the masses. But it has to be simple. Yeah, not too complicated, just simple. Thank you, God. Thank you for the blessings you have given. That's what we're doing today. It is Thanksgiving Day here in the United States, wherever you are. Take a moment to just thank God for the blessings that you do have. Some of them which you overlook, some of which you may have just not only overlooked, but just taken for granted. You know, the idea that I'm talking into a microphone. Think about it. Think about the complexity. There's like nerves that are triggering in the brain that is making my mouth move, is making the tongue make articulating a sound. It's going into a piece of metal, which is translating it into small electronic currents, going into a computer, which is then disseminating it via the internet to all corners of the world. And there you are, turning it on without even thinking about it. You've got a means of touching a button or whatever it is that activates this process, that plays it over some kind of a device, and then it comes into your system, and then you start processing. Think about all the complexity that goes with that process of just hearing these words right now. You go, yeah, thank you. Wow. It's overwhelming, right? Thanksgiving Day. And we're talking about some really incredible people for whom we are thankful, namely Gabriel and Katie J. Starring. You know, in many ways, the Armenian psyche, the Armenian identity, is so defined by 1915, the genocide of 1915. And I think even more by the idea that nobody really cared. It was a genocide. You know that I've shared this with you in the past. Between 1915 and 1923, there was more written about the Armenian genocide than was written between the years, the same 7 years between 2003 and 2010 about the Darfuri genocide. And you would think that in 2003, 2005, 2010, you know, with the internet, just, you know, going crazy, that there would be so much more. But no, there wasn't. It's basically the world turning its back to the ugliness and pain of people. And I often thought to myself, and have thought to myself, what if somebody cared? And I think Gabriel and Katie J became the focus of that. What if somebody cared in 1915? What if somebody cared about the Armenians? Back in 2008, our In His Shoes ministry honored Gabriel Starring as its Man of the Year. At that time, I had written a short little essay called What If Someone Cared in 1915, and I want to share that with you because it really, really hits home. It was something that I discovered last night as I was reflecting upon their lives. Pertinent in 2008, pertinent today, let me share it with you. What if someone cared in 1915? Abandonment, loneliness. We read the story of Jesus calming the sea, Mark chapter 4. Apart from the made-for-television scene of Jesus rebuking the storm, saving the ship, there's a very important question asked by the disciples that points to one of our biggest fears, namely, abandonment. The disciples are on board a small boat when the sea swells and the winds rock them back and forth. There is an immediate danger of capsizing. Quickly they look for their lifesaver, and he, Jesus, their lifesaver, Jesus, is asleep in the back of the boat. They ask him, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" You know, it's a very logical and natural question. Why have you abandoned us now in our hour of need? Abandonment and loneliness are some of the scariest feelings that we have. I know as a child we are scared of the dark, and not because we can't see anything in the space, but because of the loneliness that is in that darkness. I mean, think about it. We take a brother or a sister, maybe a friend, to walk into the dark room with us, even a small little puppy dog, and we are comforted. Having someone next to us eases our fears, and when we are left alone, we're frightened. And it is this sense of abandonment that the disciples felt when they turned to Jesus for help. They were left alone, and on top of it all, they thought he didn't care. I think about the abandonment in reference to the Armenian genocide. Why were we left alone in 1915? Even more, what if someone really cared in 1915? The question has resurfaced for me in many different forms and at different times. When I first read about Ambassador Morgenthau's letter from Turkey describing the atrocities, I wondered, why didn't anybody care? This was an ambassador. How could the ambassador of the United States be documenting such violations against human life and all of it falling on deaf ears? And to think, not even two decades after the end of the Armenian Genocide, Hitler used the world's indifference. That same abandonment, Hitler used that indifference to rally support for his entry into Poland. The same question resurfaced for me a few years back when I returned from a trip to Rwanda. What was going on? Why didn't the world care? How could we even fathom the idea of genocide in today's modern world? Flashing in front of my eyes were the pictures of three chimps, you know? See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Maybe in that same ape-like fashion, the answer was simply to ignore it. And it will go away. I know I can't change the past, but what I can definitely do is something about today and the future. Today, genocide is taking place in places like Sudan. In a remote area called Darfur, millions of people have been displaced, and hundreds of thousands have been massacred, raped, tortured, and exterminated. Darfur is the Turkey of 2008. The neighboring areas in Chad are the Derzors of 2008. The enemy is the same. It is easy to identify the enemy as the Turks in 1915 or the Janjaweed in 2008. The bigger enemy is more difficult to recognize, but equally destructive. It's our collective indifference to the pain and destruction of others. It's the same enemy we Armenians had in 1915. It's the same enemy the Darfuri people have today. Fortunately, the blind, deaf, and dumb monkeys are just a few this time around. In fact, I'm pleased to note that some very important and prominent people have risen to the occasion and lent their voice to the people of Darfur. Whether Don Cheadle, George Clooney, or Mia Farrow, they have all offered their celebrity status to get the word out and in so doing challenged us. I want you to just take a note that I'm reading from something that I authored back in 2008. So it is a little dated, and these people are still involved at different levels, but not the way they were at that point. The turn is ours now as Armenians, as the victims of the first genocide of the 20th century. Don't we have a duty to be the first to speak out against genocide today? The time is here for us to lend our voices and our status to get the word out about Darfur. Now, this, again, let me take a break right now just to say that this was also written because we honored Gabriel starring as the man of the year for In His Shoes of 2008. And this was the preface then. When I met Gabriel starring, he was running a mock refugee camp called Camp Darfur. We spent 4 days with him in the camp, located near the runway at LAX, getting the word out to whoever would listen. The location was appropriate. No one really cares about who's around as long as you're not in the way of the planes. And we weren't. Just like the people in Armenia in 1915 or Darfur 2008. As long as they're not disrupting the flow, let them be, says the world. Later, Gabriel followed his calling and made a series of trips to Chad, Darfur border. There he spent time with the refugees of the genocide inside the camps. He has made 5 trips at that time, 2008. He had made 5 trips, leaving family and the comforts of home behind just to get the word out about Darfur. He has broadcasted video stories and pictures to the world from these camps. What if somebody cared in 1915? We will never know what the answer is to that question, but we can be a part of the answer today. Someone does care about the genocide in Darfur. And it was with these words that I just read that we invited people to come and celebrate this man. And it was a very successful. I remember we had rented the auditorium at Barnsdall, located right in Hollywood. And it was a very successful evening. I can't forget it. I don't know if it was documented aside from pictures. I know we have a lot of pictures from that evening. I don't know if recording these things was not as easy as it is today. And definitely, let's see, 2008, it was iPhones had just come out. There weren't too many people doing their own videos of this. But I will look. If we do find something about it, I will definitely share it in the show notes as well. But I'm very proud that we, as a small little group, In His Shoes, descendants of Armenian genocide survivors, were able to mark and point our finger to a man who was making a difference in this world. Him and his wife, Katie J. Starring, have made such a big difference. I know I said earlier, I made a little comment about the technology. That was a whole different area that I was always fascinated, because they always had this small ensemble of technological gadgets. There were like computers and sound devices and everything that they would take with them from place to place. They had what you heard a few minutes ago, Camp Darfur. They would actually make a mock camp. And one of the highlights of my life was that we were involved in that first Camp Darfur, where we were the Armenia tent. It was actually literally a camp where you would go to a refugee camp. You'd walk through the camp, and at each of the tents, you would learn something about a genocide in the past. And we had this Armenian tent. And it was at a time where I was under a lot of criticism by Armenian people saying, like, you don't care. What are you doing dealing with other genocides? Why aren't you out there getting the world to pay attention to the Armenian genocide, which happened 100 years ago? You know, like, what are you dealing with these people? They're black. They're not Armenian. And, you know, use your resources, and especially this huge number of young people, get them to learn about Armenian genocide. Well, it's not like we were stopping them from learning. I think, for my part, they were learning a lot more because it was becoming more real for them. But I think the biggest moment for me came when, despite all of that criticism, we ended up at a rally at Golden Gate Park. And we were on Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco with a large group of us. And we were protesting against Darfur. And it was all these we're a group of Armenians, and we're on the Golden Gate Bridge with everybody, with a wide variety of people doing this protest. And again, being criticized by Armenians, saying, like, why are you dealing with others? Until this is the big moment. When we went down into the Golden Gate Park that was there, there was this huge banner that said, remember the Armenian Genocide, 1915, the first. And what was really beautiful for me, and I pointed out to our group, we didn't make that banner. I want you to understand how significant that is. Yeah, I know. We've seen all these signs that say, remember 1915. We've seen all these banners all over. But we make those banners. Armenians make those. Isn't it beautiful when somebody else recognizes that, hey, you stood with us, I'm going to stand with you? That's that feeling of non-abandonment. We weren't alone at that point. We were one of a larger community, and they understood us as being with them as we understood them being with us. And once you do that, you understand that them and us don't matter. You start imagining a world where there are no borders. There is no country. There is no religion. It's a world where harmony and peace can abound. And when you've got that, as Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. We are getting ready to go to Thanksgiving celebrations here in the United States. And wherever you are, I hope you'll have an opportunity to take a pause and be thankful for the blessings you have. Maybe in light of this news, maybe take a little bit of time to hug a little longer, hug a little more intensively, to share what you feel. Because these kind of events that I just described remind us how fragile life is. In the few minutes that we've been putting together today's podcast, I've also been juggling around a lot of messages that have been coming in to me. I wanted to share one that I got from one of the relatives of Gabriel, and that was that their daughter, Layla, survived the crash, and she is now in the good hands of very loving and caring uncles, aunts, and cousins who are just showering her with a lot of love and support, and the family just asks for all of your prayers. So I pass that along. Wherever you may be, that power of prayer is really what connects us. I'm going to let Susie make her announcement. I'm going to come back with some short little announcements, and we'll call it a day.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. You know, today we were going to have a completely different Next Step, and I'm going to invite you to come back next week because I do want to talk about this material. A lot of new stuff came over. Among them is a small little snippet that I got about Thanksgiving, and I'll give you a little prelude to it. It was a Catholic podcast I was listening to, and in there, the gentleman doing the podcast was referencing the many ways in which Catholicism and in Christianity we are thankful. And then he says, I want to go to another tradition. And he goes to a Jewish rabbi and to talk about Thanksgiving. And the Jewish rabbi makes a notation that the Jewish tradition is how aligned it is with the idea of Thanksgiving. And his entire case was to the point that when Judah was born in the book of Genesis, the mother looked up to God and said, we shall thank God. And I just was like really floored. Like, what? That's how everyone's aligned? That's how not just the Jewish people, that's how everyone is aligned. That whole idea of Thanksgiving is a human reaction. It's a human reaction to love, to goodness. And I don't think it's fair to just say, okay, well, you know, it happened in the Jewish story. I mean, my daughter-in-law just a few weeks ago, gave birth. And, you know, she said, thank God we had this beautiful baby. Now, that doesn't make Thanksgiving an Armenian celebration or unique to the Armenian people, or makes us Armenians as the first inventors of Thanksgiving. It's just a human reaction to something most incredible, something phenomenal, something mysterious, something magical, something beyond our human capabilities. It's the miracle, right? Yeah, in the face of a miracle, we are all in awe and thankful. So I wanted to share that with you, and maybe if we get a little chance, I'll play you the clip next week. I'll make it next week. There's a few other things, too, including a little clip from Wolf Blitzer. I'll let you think about that one, okay? That's coming up for next week. But I was also thinking that among all the Thanksgiving traditions that we have, going and spending it at family house, having meals and so on, for me, this last 14 years, Thanksgiving has also meant putting together a podcast. Yeah, we put it together on Thursdays, and Thursday is Thanksgiving. So it is really my Thanksgiving tradition, my family's Thanksgiving tradition, that I go off for a few hours and we put together the Next Step. But at the same time, it's also an opportunity for me to be thankful to all of you who make this possible with your support, with your prayers, with your words of encouragement that go a long, long way. Thank you, and God bless you all. This coming Sunday, I will be at the Pasadena St. Gregory Armenian Church for the Divine Liturgy, and they do stream, so you can join me on the internet. It's St. Gregory, the Armenian Apostolic Church in Pasadena, and you could just Google it, and if I can, I'll try to put a link on today's show notes, make it a little easier. But speaking of the show notes, I want you to take a look at it. There'll be a lot of stuff that you can cross-reference, that you can learn about the incredible people I spoke about today, and about especially how we got to be friends, namely through the In His Shoes ministry, how important it is to walk in the shoes of others. That does it for today. I look forward to being with you again next week, and of course next month, right? We're already in December! Holy schmoly. On behalf of the wonderful producer who put together today's show, Susie, and myself, Father Voskin, look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step. Happy Thanksgiving!
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.